Give him the glory and honor. And it's only because of his grace operating and working in our hearts that we'd rather have him than this world. And we praise his name for that this evening. As we look this evening, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I appreciate the emphasis our brother Brad had on the gospel this evening. For if it wasn't from the gospel, for the gospel, every one of us would be still in our sins. Amen. Dead in trespasses in our sins, without God and without hope in this world. But thanks be to God for the glorious gospel that came our way one glorious day. And I'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll read down through verse number 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And at last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, then, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as your people, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth, God, to be centered around your word. God, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the promises we find in your word. Thank you for this local assembly, God, and Lord, the support that they've given over the years. Thank you for the mission. Lord, all that you've done through it. Pray, God, you sustain these, Lord, works here. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your wonderful salvation. We thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has changed and transformed our life. Now, Lord, we thank you for the eternal hope that you've given us in your Son. Now, Father, we pray as we open up your word tonight that you give us clarity, you'd give us liberty and unction, Lord, to be able to declare your word. Father, I pray you'd minister to the hearts of each and every one here, that God, you'd meet the needs. And God, I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to breathe upon us, Lord, by your Spirit, attending your word in power. Now, Father, we give you the glory. We'll give you the thanks for what you do in this place this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, of course, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, which oftentimes is preached around Easter. And we find, of course, it deals with the death, burial, and ultimately the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Ben led a song, of course, this evening called "One Day." And through that song, we find every aspect of the gospel detailed through each verse of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, and his coming. And we find, of course, in this portion of Scripture this evening, as Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, as he had already corrected them and dealt with issues that the church was having doctrinally, and as well as some of the strife and contention that was taking place in that local assembly, he says, "Moreover, brethren." And here, after he deals with them in some of the areas he dealt with in the Scriptures, we find that he, of course, points them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the emphasis in any mission conference, is the gospel. For if we have not the gospel, we do not have missions. And we find here that Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and was reminding them of that gospel which they heard, which changed and transformed their life, and by which that church was established there in Corinth. And here Paul, of course, is encouraging these believers. He says, "Moreover, brethren," he is, of course, addressing them as those that have been born again into the family of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as he addresses them as brethren, and what a blessing it is that we, of course, when we're born into the family of God, we now have a new family, and that are called the brothers and sisters in Christ. And apart from that which has taken place in our lives of being saved by the grace of God, Brother Brandon, I probably would have never met you. Brother Ben, I probably would have met you. But by the sovereign providential workings of God and bringing us unto himself in salvation, God has established his family called the family of God. And now we, by his providential workings, have, of course, come to a place where we've been able to meet one another in Christ. And I've often said this, when I was saved by the grace of God, the reality established as brothers and sisters in Christ in the family of God, I've become more acquainted with the family of God than I have with my family, my immediate family. And why is that? Because a lot of my family is not saved. A lot of my family does not know the Lord. So there is a, of course, acquaintance that is established as it was with Paul with this local church. And we find that as well as we're here tonight. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And that word declare oftentimes as well goes in context with proclaim or as well to publish, declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no doubt we are living in a world and it's always been a world of bad news. Amen. Throughout history and generation, there's been a lot of bad news. But all through the line of generations in history, there's always been the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing as we look at this portion of scripture, as we've already sang that song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. The only way that's been made possible in our lives to come to a place where we'd rather have Jesus than anything is because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached unto us. And I thank God for the day that the gospel came by my way. That there was a man that was bold enough that was able to witness to me and tell me about my state as a sinner and God's state as a holy God and see my need for salvation and my need to repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there on that day on the side of the road in 2004 became, of course, transition point where I received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and God saved me by his wonderful grace. And now whereby I can stand and declare unto you, my brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul was doing here to the Corinthian church. He was reminding them. And of course, we'll look at this first point, the reception of the gospel. In order for anybody to be saved by the grace of God, they must receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There was a time when we received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that had come by our way, and we believed by faith and we trusted in Christ and we become the sons and daughters of God. And he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And that was Paul's gospel as well. Amen. As you remember there, it was not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul emphasized it in one of the epistles. It had become his gospel, my gospel. And those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, it is no longer just the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it has now become my gospel and your gospel, which God has entrusted to us as his sons and daughters to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find he says, I preached unto you. There was a time there in Corinth when there was no individuals that believed the gospel. Why? Because they not had received it yet. But the apostle Paul, along with others that have come into Corinth and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching, declaration, and proclamation and publishing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there were those that God had in that city that would believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn to him by faith and repent of their sins and become a part of that local church there in Corinth. And we find Paul's addressing them once again. And he writes unto them, which I preached unto you. He's reminding them how they came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, which also ye have received. So there was a reception of the gospel. You say, preacher, how did they receive the gospel? Well, we find that, of course, in order to receive the gospel, there must be something that takes place in the sinner's heart, which makes them willing to receive the gospel. And I love how Charles Spurgeon stated this. He said, which spoke in the wheel turns first? And he said, not one of them. They all turn at the same time. For us to be able to explain the complete reasoning through our thought process in Scripture, how it all comes about in our Christian life when we're born again, saved by the grace of God, I believe Charles Spurgeon said it right. Amen. And when those believers there in Corinth believed the gospel, God had already been working in their hearts to a place where they would receive it by faith. Yes, the reception of the gospel is a gift of God, and so is faith the gift of God. And we have not enough faith, nor do we desire to receive the gospel in and of ourselves. No, it must come from God. And we think about this. He is reminding them that they had received that gospel. And what a glorious day for you and I, that day when we receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the fact that somebody brought the gospel unto us. And that's a good reminder for us in this day and hour that we are living in. There are those around us in Hendersonville. There are those around us in Arden. There are those around us in Asheville that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they may receive it as well as become a son of God by believing it. And it is our responsibility and our duty as Christians, as preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare and to publish and to proclaim the good news. You say, there's a lot of bad news, but how much greater is it in this hour to declare and publish the good news that Jesus Christ is King? And we find here, as Paul, of course, is writing unto Corinth, he not only says, ye received it, but he says as well, wherein ye stand. Sound familiar? Standing on the promises of God. Amen. And as we receive the gospel, great evidence of one that's truly been born from above is that they are standing in the gospel. And as we stand in the gospel, of course, we find that word stand being a military term, that we are standing in the gospel which we have received. Standing in the promises of God. So we find, of course, there is a stand that we take as Christians. And that stand is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, of course, some of you may have different thoughts about Charlie Kirk and where he was and what kind of camp he was in. But one thing for sure, if you look at some of his social media and some of his videos that he has, of course, put out, there was an emphasis on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an emphasis on Christ dying for sinners. There was an emphasis on his resurrection. And he refuted a lot of the lies that are being portrayed in our society today concerning marriage outside of what God has instituted. But what was he doing? He was standing in the gospel. And how much more in this hour, in this day, as Christians, are we to stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's great evidence of one's been saved by the grace of God. Not only that they have received it, but they are still standing. And I mentioned this to the church the other day, and I'm one of the YouTube channel podcasts or broadcasts. Now, what a blessing it is when you see an individual that you may have not saw in, say, 20 years or 10 years, and you come by and you see them in a meeting that you've not been in before, and they're still standing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Brian, brings great joy and delight to an individual's know that they're still continuing on in the gospel and for the gospel's sake. And as we gather here this evening to see some of you that I've not seen in some time, to see that you're still standing because you have received the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. When we look at this, we find not only were they standing, it says they received it, but then listen to what he says here, by which also ye are saved. Amen. Born again, saved by the grace of God. Now I love how Paul addresses some of the churches, especially there at Thessalonica. Brethren, beloved, knowing your election of God. Paul had an insight, and of course we do too. We shall know individuals by the fruit that they produce in their lives. Not that we know 100%, amen, but there is a spirit that beareth witness with our spirit and with your spirit as well that you've been born from above, that you are a child of God. And I love how Paul emphasizes that in the scriptures. But here is saying that by wherein you are saved. So Paul saw fruit in the Corinthian church, those that had received it, those that were still standing, but as well those that were saved by the grace of God. When you receive it, you're standing in it, there's evidence that you've been saved. Amen. And we find what a blessing that is, because the gospel ultimately brings salvation to an individual. For how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall they believe if they don't hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is a blessing here as we look at this portion of scripture, because of the fact that Paul is reminding them of the gospel that was preached to them. They're still standing and they're saved by the grace of God, and they received it at one point in time in their life. And you and I this evening, if we're saved, we received it and we are still standing in the gospel. And we're not letting go of it. Amen. Because it's gotten a hold of us. And what a blessing that is this evening as we look at this. And we see, finally, Paul, of course, says, if, now pay attention here, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So there's a contrast here in the scriptures, those that were standing, those that received, those that were saved. But then he says, if you keep in memory, and basically what he's saying here, if you are still laying hold of the gospel truths that you believed in the beginning. And then he says here, unless you have believed in vain. So evidence of those maybe in Corinth that had not been truly saved by the grace of God, there were some individuals that may have let go of the gospel, which really weren't saved by the grace of God. They were no longer standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can deal with scriptures throughout, of course, the gospel that talks about the fruit and talks about the ground where which the seed was laid. But we find those that are still standing, those that are still preaching, those that are still witnessing, those that have received the gospel and have been saved, it's not in vain. Amen. We have believed because of the fact that God has done the work within us. He says, if you're not keeping it in memory, that gospel which was preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And how many of us have come across that in individuals' lives? Well, they said they've received the gospel. They said they believed. They said they've been saved. But at some point in time in their life, they're no longer laying hold of the gospel. They're no longer participating in church. They're no longer standing in the gospel. And why is that? Because a lot of them have believed in vain and never been truly born from above. I've got a sister in the same case that said that she was saved years ago, but there's no evidence, no fruit. She once was there and standing, and she was, of course, once one that said she received the gospel, but there's no fruit, there's no evidence because of the fact that she may have believed in vain. So Paul has reminded them, of course, of the need of these truths in verse number 1 and 2. But what does he say here in verse number 3? We find the reception of the gospel, the revelation of the gospel. For I delivered unto you, and that's just an opening up of what is delivered. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Brethren, the only way that you and I can deliver the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is it first has gotten a hold of us and we receive it. Now we can deliver it as it was delivered unto us. And here Paul's reminding him of that. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I received. And we can all reflect back upon what took place in the Apostle Paul's life on the road to Damascus, as he had, of course, letters in his hand as one that persecuted the church, one that hated the church. And we find in that glorious moment, the Apostle Paul's life was changed and transformed by the gospel. Of course, he had an instance and an encounter with the Lord himself in a way which you and I have not had. But the gospel was still preached to Paul. You remember back when Stephen was martyred, the first martyr in the book, or in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And we find that the message of the gospel was preached there. But sometime later, the Apostle Paul would have this encounter where his life was gloriously changed and transformed as he met the Lord. As our brother sang that song, as we meet the Lord. And it is too in our lives that we receive the gospel. And there was a point in time that gospel was delivered unto us. And as it was delivered unto us, we had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us by his wonderful, marvelous grace. And in so doing that, we now are delivery men of the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. And what a blessing as we're looking at this. Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And what a blessing that is, a reminder for us as Paul was reminding the Corinthian church how great and glorious it is that we are reminded of our sins, past, present, and future, being under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross as he bore our sins in his body, that we might not have to pay the sin debt that we owed, of course, for eternity in the lake of fire. And he took our judgment upon himself and took the wrath of God as that cup was poured on upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much as far as what Christ dealt with physically on the cross, which was excruciating, painful, and the anguish that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through. But the cup of the wrath of God, which was poured out upon him for our sins, that we might not have to bear that wrath in eternity. And Paul is reminding them of that which God has done through his son and the redemptive purposes of Christ, that he would redeem us out of the slave market of sin, that he would purchase us out of that slave market of sin and as well out of the darkness that we were in, and that dealing with our sins on the cross of Calvary. And I'm sure if Paul was here today, he would sing the same hymns that we sing. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had lost its crimson stain. He washed me and made me white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And that's how God, through his son, Jesus Christ, dealt with our sins and dealt with us in mercy by laying our sins upon his son, and by which the greatest transaction that has ever taken place throughout all of history, where our sins were laid upon him and our righteousness come from him. That the imputation of righteousness, the great exchange that took place there on the cross of Calvary, where our sins were imputed to him and his righteousness imputed unto us. Our sins are forgiven, past, present, future. Amen. As far as the east is to the west, cast under the depths of the sea and never to be brought back up again. Our sins have been paid for in full. Why? Because the gospel. And we find here he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Isaiah 22, Isaiah 53, dealing with the prophecy of Jesus dying on the cross and dealing with our sins. And we find, of course, it's according to the scriptures. It's laid out through the entirety of the Word of God that how Christ would become that sin-bearing sacrifice, that substitutionary sacrifice for our sins on the cross of Calvary, according to the scriptures. And then he goes on to say here, not only that, but that glorious resurrection in verse number 4, and that he was buried. Yes, he was buried and buried our sins, taking them far away, as we have already sang, in one day, one glorious day. But he was buried, and I'm glad that Christ did not remain in the tomb, amen? That he rose again, as the Bible says, on that third day, according to the scriptures. And we find as we look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay my life down. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. And as we look at the resurrection, we find the same triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was involved in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as well in the resurrection what took place in our life as we were born from above, regenerated, quickened. God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God the Son died on the cross for our sins, but then the Holy Spirit quickened us and made us alive unto God. And what a blessing that is as we look at this, because of the fact if there was no resurrection, there would be no life. Amen. There had to be a resurrection that we might have life and life more abundantly here on earth. But not only life here, but that resurrection that will take place one glorious day as well, when we will rise to worlds unknown. Amen. When we'll drop this robe of flesh and rise to those worlds unknown. We find that that resurrection was, of course, sealed and finished there as Christ rose. Why? Because of the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, they were fulfilled. And we find this, of course, the gospel in the nutshell, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And this, of course, is what we preach. Amen. That repentance and remission of sins shall be preached unto all the world. And we preach that. And that's what the gospel involves. And there's a lot, of course, those that this day, as we look at the gospel message today, some would say, well, Jesus loves you. Or there's not really an emphasis on what Christ actually did when we confront individuals with the gospel. It must be involved, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here Paul was reminding the Corinthian church of that which Christ had accomplished for us. And then he goes on to say, and not only did he rise, but it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. And we find there that he was dealing with those individuals that had actually seen not the resurrection take place, but actually after the resurrected had seen the resurrected Lord. They seen Him with their very eyes. And I love how it's stated in the book of 1 John that He was manifested among them, that they handled them with their hands. They had seen Him with their eyes. And we find through that, as these individuals as well, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrected state. And what a witness that is and testimony to the Scriptures that He was, of course, alive, that He is living today. And He goes on, not only those there, and He said those, some were present still at their very time as Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, but some had died. Some that had witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had fallen asleep. And after that, He was seen of James, the brother of Jesus, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. That context in the Greek word there is emphasis on an abortion or a miscarriage. It was like a freak situation there with the Apostle Paul. It was out of due time. It was unlike the others that have, of course, seen the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrection state. But here He says, I have seen Him, one born out of due time. And you know what the blessing is as well this evening? You and I were not there to see the resurrected Lord. You and I were not there to see the death upon the cross. But both you and I can say as well, just as they seen Him with the physical eye, you and I can testify to the fact that we have seen Him and we know Him and we touch Him and we, of course, resonate with Him because we see Him through the eyes of faith. And what a blessing that is, because I know He is resurrected. I know He's alive. Why? Not just because I've seen Him, but I know He lives because He lives within my heart. And you and as well this evening can testify to the fact that you've seen Him by faith, but you know that He lives because He lives within your heart. And these apostles seen Him with their physical eyes, but we see Him by the eyes of faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But it's just as real, amen, just as real. But one day, as the song says, that we'll see Him, amen. In His glorious appearing, we'll see Him face to face, and we shall be like Him. Then He goes on to say here in verse number 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. You see Paul's emphasis on this. Of course, he brought this up in an aspect of his humility. And of course, it was not something that he was puffed up about persecuting the church of God. It's something that he acknowledged because of the fact that that was who he was before God saved him. And every one of us can have some similar testimony how we persecuted the church of God. Whether it been through things that were said to individuals that preached the gospel or witnessed, or even mothers and fathers that had prayed or testified or witnessed in their own home and read the scriptures. But we all at one point in time have persecuted the church of God. Not only persecuted the church of God, but persecuting the church is persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul acknowledges that, but in acknowledging that, he says this in verse number 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Again, that grace word means God giving to us that which we do not deserve. Grace, of course, God, Paul emphasizes that, realizing that he didn't deserve what God gave him. If he got what God what Paul deserved to get was his, of course, sentence for eternal death in the lake of fire. But Paul says it's by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. And Paul, of course, here says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And every one of us here this evening that's been saved by God's grace can testify the fact that we are who we are because of God's grace in our lives, operating, not only bringing salvation, but as well keeping us saved. And that's all of God's grace in sustaining us in this life. And Paul recognizes that and says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Notice he reflects upon those first couple of scriptures, because he was still operating in the grace of God, still standing. The gospel which he had received and which he was saved by, Paul notices here, he says, notice what he says, "It was not in vain, because the gospel that worked in him was still working in his life at the present time when he wrote the book of Corinthians." And not does he acknowledge that, but he says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." And that's a pretty, of course, large statement there, amen. The Apostle Paul is acknowledging that because there may have been some there in Corinth that didn't see him as he was. And we find that Paul was saying, "I have labored more abundantly than they all." And he was referring to all of those apostles. And we find that he was laboring, and he did labor more abundantly than they all. But who was he giving the glory and the honor to through his labors? He says this, "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." It was the grace of God that carried Paul on through his earthly ministry. And it's the grace of God that is going to carry every one of us that are saved by the grace of God further along in the ministries which he gives unto us, because we are sustained by his grace, and his grace is sufficient for each and every one of us as born again Christians. And as Paul, of course, mentions here that he labored more abundantly, it is an affirmation of his labor and his hard work in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is God's grace that will allow us, at times we may not feel the strength, at times we may not feel like doing it, but it's God's grace, the same grace that was given to the Apostle Paul, is the same grace that is available to us to continue to labor in the gospel ministry as he did. It's the same grace. The same grace that saved the Apostle Paul is the same grace that saves us. It's the same grace that saves a young child at the age of 5 or an older gentleman at the age of 75. It's that same grace that operates in the heart of an individual that's lost without God that needs that demonstration of grace in their lives. But that grace will sustain us. And so as we look at this portion of Scripture and deal with the reception, the revelation, as well as with the resolution of the gospel ought to produce resolute in our hearts and minds that we will go forward as we see that glorious day approaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in our presentation of the gospel to the world, in this world that's lost without Christ and undone and without hope, knowing that the only hope for this world and for cities and for nations is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. So it ought to encourage us through this portion of Scripture, because we have received the gospel. And those of you here tonight still yet show evidence that you're standing in the gospel by which you were saved and by which we will declare this glorious message that we have received first and foremost, and now it's our responsibility to declare it to others as well. So as we find this great and glorious gospel, and I entitled this message, that the gospel will never lose its power. The same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached is the same gospel that we preach today. And for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And it will always be the power of God to those that are saved by the grace of God. And how is that? How is it we can come together as the people of God and hear the same message preached over again and time again and realize it is the power of God? The very one that penned the words of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is the very one that penned the words in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And what a powerful gospel we have, amen. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, and all that's taking place in our generation, in the world today, the power of the gospel has still that power to bring forth life out of death. And what a blessing that is to us that are saved by the grace of God as we reflect upon this portion of Scripture. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And we bless the Lord this evening that the gospel has the power to change and transform a life, even as it has yet done in our lives and is still doing. So we bless the Lord this evening as we look at this portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 on the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection, that's what this world needs to hear. Not only just to hear it, but it needs to be preached in the demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. So as we close this evening, I'll close in a word of prayer, then ask Brother Ben if he would come and close us out in the service. Father, we bless you and we praise you this evening for your gospel. We thank you, God, that you have commanded us to go into the world, all the world, and preach this glorious gospel. It's glorious, Lord, that's what's taken root in our hearts as we've received it. And God, receiving it, you have changed and transformed and changed the directory of our lives forever. And Lord, what the blessed hope that we have as your children this evening because of the gospel came by our way. Father, help us. Would you put, Lord, in our hearts truth on fire? God, that, Lord, others will hear the truth. Others will believe. Others will repent. Others will receive. And as well become, as we are, declarers and proclaimers and publishers of this great, glorious gospel that you have given unto us. Now, Father, we pray that you would bless the remainder, the days of this meeting, that you bless each speaker. God, that you'd stir in the hearts of your people. And Father, we pray for a heaven-sent revival in this hour that we're living in. I pray you'd move amongst your churches, move amongst your people. I pray, Father, that you'd put that fire in our hearts. God, that, Lord, we would be messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, save souls, work in hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.